Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I was required to say that, so. But we are still in the Easter season until Trinity Sunday, so it's good to see everybody. And any announcements that anybody has? Judy?
Okay. Change of plans for the women's group, still starting on the same day and 7 o'clock. However, Tom thought it would be best if those women that are attending ordered their own book. Ordered their own books. You can get it through Amazon. You can get it through the Christian bookstore here in town. You can see me afterwards if you want to see the exact title, et cetera, et cetera. Also, we're going to start at the Dietrich's house. We'll publish the address a little bit later. Carolyn also offered her home, but she can only do the first one. So rather than confuse everyone, the Dietrich's very, very generously offered, let's just do their house and keep everybody on the straight and narrow that way. So, but please still email me that you're coming, only because even if you told me I want email addresses so I can make a list. So please still respond that way. So order your own book. If you have difficulty, let me know. I can order for you through Amazon Prime, say shipping or whatever. Okay? Thank you.
Anybody else? Any prayer requests? I do have one that I was not able to add since the bulletin was printed earlier this week. Tom Linkford, his dog Bella, has got congestive heart failure. And he's got her on some pretty expensive medications right now, so if we can keep him and Bella in our prayers. Any other prayer requests? Carrie?
Just continue to keep our family in prayer. We will have a celebration of life on next Saturday for my aunt. And then my family and my uncle will have a very long time.
Anybody else? And we will go ahead and gather together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
Continuing on, we will read Psalm 148 as a call to worship by whole verses. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all ye angels of his.
Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, heaven and heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created.
He made them stand fast forever and ever. He gave them a law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters, and all deeps.
fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind, doing his will.
Mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars,
wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winter birds,
kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together,
let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name only is exalted, and his splendor is over earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people, and praise for all his loyal servants, the children of Israel, and the people who are near him. Hallelujah.
Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need.
Amen.
Amen.
that music. It's always beautiful to hear music, and it's always great to sing, too. Mm-hmm. I just think it's wonderful. Yeah. We're going to hear talk more about the music because it just thrills my heart to sing God's Resurrection. We're going to spend a few minutes with pastoral prayers. I will start with prayers for the church, and then we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for spring. We thank you for the rustles of spring that stir our heart. We thank you for our family and our friends. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the resurrection glory that we have with us today. We pray for this church, that she might be a faithful steward to your word. We pray for Pastor Tom, for Sherry as they're away. We pray for Jen and the people that minister today, Mona, and all the singers. We ask your blessings upon this congregation, Lord, lifting up all those who are sick, suffering. We especially lift up Tom and his dog, that they might be cared for as you care for all the things. We lift up Carrie and her family, her aunt and uncle that are going through some difficult times. Lord, give them peace, give them hope, give them encouragement. Pray for those in the congregation that are upcoming surgeries, that you might give the doctor skilled hands and wisdom, and all above your glory will be made. Let us keep faithful to your presence. And the end of the words that you have taught us to sing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading comes from 1 John 1 to 1 John 2:2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, which while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Decision to make. I obviously chose medicine, but I still love ministry. I still love the word. And actually, I'm still taking classes at Liberty University Seminary, so it's a great opportunity and a great blessing to preach the word. I hope that I will be good at this. One thing I do want to stick to is scripture. There is a story about Billy Graham, and they asked Billy Graham about what he thought of Jerry Falwell Sr., and Jerry Falwell Sr., as you know, would have some times he said things that were different. And Billy Graham, of course, wanted to be very politically correct, and he said, well, I like when he quotes scripture, and he quotes scripture a lot, so maybe I should just take that message. The other thing is I do practice this, and I go over it, and I was lamenting, even this morning, when I went through it, to my wife, that it's only 19 minutes, and Tom said at least 20. And my wife said, no one's going to get on you for preaching a minute too late. So maybe it's 19 and a half minutes now. Happy Easter to you. This is still the Easter season, and it's just a week ago that we were celebrating Easter, and we had the benefit and the blessing to go to Pennsylvania to celebrate Easter with my wife's family. And it was such a joy to go there and to have a meal together. All kids were there and grandparents and everything like that. And it was really cool to be in their presence. And my wife is a real gift giver. That's her love language. She loves giving gifts. So even though our children are in their 20s and scattered through the Eastern Coast, they all have their own Easter basket, you know, which was made handmade for them with everything in it, gifts and treats and those Reese's peanut butter eggs, you know, I love those. They're just my favorite, right? but not only that, there's like little practical gifts in it, like hand cream and things for the car and things for the job and things like that. And of course, you know, my wife being the gift giver, there was a big question as whether she was going to get an Easter basket, you know, because you can't give yourself an Easter basket. So I admit the day before Easter, I went to the store, got some prefab Easter basket. She did get her Easter basket. So, but Easter baskets are great. You know, we all love them. And I was looking at the tradition of Easter baskets. And did you know that actually the Easter basket tradition in the United States really comes from Pennsylvania? So kudos to those people up north, you know. You know how you know a person from Pennsylvania, give them some sweet tea. And if they can't drink it, it's Pennsylvania. So. But history.com reports that the Easter bunny was actually first introduced in the 1700s by German immigrants in Pennsylvania, who reportedly brought over the tradition of an egg-laying hare named Osterhaus, or Osterhaus. And as the story goes, the rabbit would lay colorful eggs as gifts to children who were good. So the kids would make nests, and that's the Easter basket, in which the bunny could leave his eggs. And sometimes they would leave out carrots in case the hare got hungry. Eventually, this custom spread across America to become a widespread Easter tradition. And over time, the fabled bunny's delivery even expanded from just eggs to include other treats, such as chocolates and toys. And today, the Easter bunny is traditionally depicted with a white rabbit costume with long ears, often wearing clothes in a human-like fashion. He can typically be found at Easter parades and other celebratory events for holidays, carrying a basket full of colorful eggs, candy, and other treats to give out to kids, like Santa Claus on Christmas time. But interestingly, there's another tidbit. It's not always a bunny that brings Easter eggs in countries outside the United States. In Australia, for example, the spring holiday is greeted with a Easter bilby, like a rabbit-like marsupial native to Australia. And other animals include the Easter cuckoo in Switzerland, and in some parts of Germany, the Easter fox or the Easter rooster. Now, the problem is, you hopefully don't have both, because that can be a real Easter problem. So, yeah, we had a great time, and the Easter basket was a great tradition that we used. And if you will, I think when you read the gospel today, you could sort of look at that as Jesus giving the disciples their own Easter basket. The Easter basket full of great things, practical and celebratory. Because that Easter evening wasn't like our Easter evening. The disciples were together, yes, but they were locked up out of fear. What were they afraid of? What were they scared of? They were scared of the Jews. Why would that be? Well, the Jewish leadership had rounded up their leader and had him crucified by the Roman officials. Maybe they were next. Maybe it was Peter's turn next, or John. And that's what Scripture says, they were locked up for fear of the Jews. But I think another reason maybe they were together was to form some kind of community. Even scattered sheep find comfort in each other. Regardless, they were there together. And there was these questions. There were stories from some of the women that they had seen Jesus. And Peter and John actually had seen the empty tomb. What does this mean? Could it be true? And I think those things just don't happen. Yes, it would be nice to believe that, but I don't know. And then he appeared. And his presence was there. And they saw him. And I think their hearts were filled with joy even before he spoke a word. Presence was the first gift in that Easter basket. The first peep in the Easter basket. Like I said, when we were in Pennsylvania, we were able to visit the whole family, and we thank you for praying for Mr. Dietz, Paul's father, and he has been sick for a while, but he was able to join us, and we were able to come to see him, and he was able to spend time with all the family, his daughter and all the grandchildren, and I think even the dog made a visit. So what a blessing to be in his presence, and what a blessing for him to have the children in his presence, just being there. Talking about stories of the past and future and hope and things like that. And just having the family together. Not even doing anything special. Just being in presence. And Jesus is in our presence. The second gift he gives us is his words. And what is the word that he says? The first word that he says to disciples when they're all together.
Peace.
Peace. Peace be with you. There is a part of the Roman Catholic and some Lutheran traditions, and even non-Lutheran traditions, where in the service stops, and you are encouraged to look at the person next to you and say the words of Christ, peace be with you. And the person goes back, peace be with you. I always like this because I don't know what to say to people, but if you say, yeah, peace be with you, you know what to say. You don't have to have a conversation about things. But I like that, and I miss that. You know, I guess we can't do it anyway in COVID times, but to say the words, peace be with you, and to have it said by another person is a huge gift. And they kind of knew that greeting, peace be with you, but I think the disciples are thinking back to just a few days ago in the upper room in John chapter 14, verse 27, where Jesus says, peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. The peace that God gives us is not a temporary peace. It's not a temporary ceasefire. It is lasting, eternal peace that only comes from Jesus Christ. And he gives it to them. Peace be with you. Look, put your hands in my side, as Mona beautifully sang. Hands in the side of Jesus, I give you my peace. And what did the disciples do? They rejoiced. They were exceedingly glad. And this word rejoice actually has several times in the New Testament. Probably the first time is when the wise men were looking for the star, you know, and when they saw where the star was over Bethlehem, they rejoiced. They were so happy. They were super excited, as the young kids say these days, right? They saw what they were looking for. The same is when Jesus has that parable of the treasure in the field or the pearl of great price. When someone's a pearl merchant, he sees this. This is it. This is what I've been looking for all my life. I'm going to sell everything I have. And I'm going to buy this pearl and I am going to rejoice because I have what is incredibly valuable. But also, when you look back at that prayer that Jesus has, he actually promises something. And I didn't really know this until I did the sermon preparation. So if you really want to read your Bible, volunteer to preach. John 16, 22. What does Jesus say to the disciples just a few days earlier? I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one can take that joy from you. Isn't it a great great thing to hear the story of Jesus' resurrection. You know, when Mona was playing that song, "Up from the Grave He Arose," wasn't there a feeling that went into your, almost like you wanted to like waver a little in your voice and have a little tear of joy spread it? And if you don't believe that, just go on Disney Plus and get any of the traditional Disney movies. And what is it all about? The hero dies, but then is resurrected, comes back to life, and then they live happily ever after. And some would say that that is really because we have this inborn natural affinity to love the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because there's stories of people rising again from the dead, even in the Bible. But Jesus rises for the dead to give us eternal life so we might live happily ever after. What a great story. I'm almost getting a little emotional just talking about it. So they're rejoicing. They're eating their chocolate eggs. They're having a blast. But you know, there are also a couple practical tools, gifts that he gives us in the Easter basket. And the one he gives us next is purpose. He gives the disciples, he sends them out. He makes them apostles, those who are sent out to proclaim the gospel. The previous Swiss physician, theologian, Paul Tournier, has written much on the meaning of persons and the meaning of medicine. And he's probably the one person of the past that has influenced me the most in my career. He also wrote a book on growing old, and as I'm growing old, I read it, and it's very helpful. And he says there's really three things you need to grow old well, if you can. One is funding. You know, you need enough funds to grow old. The other is a person, a relationship. It's very hard to grow old alone. It's difficult. But the most important thing you need to grow old is a purpose. You need a meaning to get out of bed in the morning. And playing golf and cards only lasts for a while. So you need a purpose. Jesus gives the disciples a purpose. Go and spread the gospel of peace. He gives them a meaning to live. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 110, you can still spread the gospel of peace. I'll again reference my father-in-law, Paul Dietz, 89 years old, still loving the Lord, still spreading the gospel of peace, even in a hospital bed. Praise the Lord. The next gift is probably what I would say the Easter bunny, the chocolate Easter bunny of the basket. You know, when you were kids, you know, he's a big chocolate Easter bunny. It's like, oh, this thing's huge. Mom, Dad, that's great. And you bite into it, and what is it? Hollow, right? It's like, I thought it was solid. Darn it. So I think the next one is a little bit harder to understand. And that is, and I'm trying to keep with the P's, the Holy Spirit. And if you say in Greek, it's pneuma with a P, so that's kind of a stretch. But he gives us the Holy Spirit. He breathes on the disciples, and he gives them the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit has power, has great power. Now, what the power is, I'm going to break down into two sections because one is easier to understand than the other. And I admit, I have a hard time with this, but I'm going to give you what I got. So hopefully, if there's any problem, you can ask Tom because he knows more than I do. Forgiveness. The gift is of forgiveness. If you forgive others, they are forgiven. Forgiveness, there's a lot of talking about forgiveness in modern psychology, modern talk. What is forgiveness? Well, definition is to let go, to give up a debt, to keep no longer. Many of us, including myself, have been cheated, stolen from, lied to, hurt. It's really hard. It's really hard to forgive those things. The natural tendency is to get even, to get revenge, or at least to harbor a grudge for the rest of our life. But, you know, really, that doesn't help us at all. It really doesn't. So to forgiveness, what is forgiveness? It's a conscious, deliberate decision to release these feelings of resentment, or vengeance, toward a person or a group who has harmed you. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning the excusing offense, but we choose to not let this consume us. It's a gift that we give ourselves. And really, God gives us the ability to forgive when he gives us the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural gift to forgive. Jesus talked about it a lot in the Lord's Prayer that we saw. One of the two petitions that deal with daily life, aside from our daily bread, is to forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Jesus modeled this perfectly from the cross just a few days before when he said, "Father, forgive them." Forgiveness, yes, is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And let us use that gift to release the angerness, the bitterness, not excusing the offense, but choosing to forgive it. The second part of it is a little harder. If you don't forgive those, if you keep their sins, they are kept. And what does this mean? Certainly it doesn't mean that we are in a position to decide for God who can be forgiven and who can't. You are unforgiven. No, sir. No, that's not what it means, because Jesus says, whoever asks for forgiveness, they will be forgiven. What I think this means is this. If you steal $5 from me, I can choose to forgive you. You might have to pay it back, there might be a fine or something like this, but I am in the position to forgive you. If you steal $5 from Tom, I'm really not in a position to forgive you. You really haven't sinned against me. Now, I can encourage you to go to Tom, because I know Tom, and I know he's a forgiving guy, and I know he will probably forgive you, and I can even say he will forgive you if you come to him. But I can't forgive that offense. I can encourage, I can plead, I can recommend, but I can't do it. And I think this is what Jesus is trying to say here. If someone sins against you, you need to forgive them. And you need to point them to me so I can forgive the sins that they have against me. We are called to show them Christ, to beg them to see Christ, to continue to guide them to Christ. Eugene Peterson, in his translation Message, translates this verse, "If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. But if you don't forgive them, what are you going to do with them? You're going to continue to love them and show them Christ, who can forgive their sins." Finally, the last egg, the last peep in the basket is perseverance. We read about Thomas, and we call him Doubting Thomas, of course. But before we get too negative on Thomas, realize that he was the one who said, "Let us go with Jesus," before he was crucified, "that we may also die with him." Yes, Thomas had faith, but he was human, and we are human too. And it was just so hard to believe that unless he put his fingers in his hand and his side, how can he believe? But you also got to say this for Thomas. He came back. He came back a week later, just like today, a week after Easter. He stuck with it. He didn't believe, but he stuck with it. And Jesus answered his prayer. Jesus was persistent. Jesus heard him and said, "Come, put your hands here. Don't doubt, but believe." What did Thomas do? He said, "My Lord and my God." Wow. Legend has it that Thomas actually went on to be an apostle to what is modern-day India, and many people claim that he spread the gospel through millions of people in that continent. So, we have our Easter basket, and we have all the goodies. Some of them are eaten, most of them. But we also have those gifts of purpose. So what does it look like to have the presence, the peace, the purpose, the spirit, and the persistence in Jesus Christ? Well, it looks wonderful. It gives us a life of faith, a community of trust, and a heart of joy. If you want to know what it looks like, Just look at the reading that David read today in Acts 4:34. The disciples, the people, they had one heart, one mind, one community. Now, sometimes this verse gets taken out of context and used as a recipe for a political answer to today's problems. Yes, we should have socialism. Yes, we should have communism. Yes, we should have totalitarianism, because look, that's what the disciples do. But any review of history will tell you that doesn't work. Never has there been a society which has thrived on man's imposing rules upon each other. Sometimes very tragic results. So what is this? This is as a result. As a result of what? As a result of Easter life. As a result of peace and presence and purpose in Jesus' presence. It's not a cause, it's a result. And as a result of that, communities are built with faith and hope and joy. And as a result, no one's in need. And as a result, it's a powerful witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, where do we see that today? I see it here. I see it in the church. The people that I love and I know love me, that care, and I care for them, that meet together, that pray together, break bread together, and celebrate time in His presence. To being in the presence of Jesus, it's a taste of heaven. So let us be like the disciples and use our Easter baskets well, and let us prepare our hearts to be with Him in presence in Holy Communion.
Amen. You'll join with me and we'll cross the screen. We'll stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried, descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the
forgiveness
of sins, the
resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
We are glad to give our thanks and praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth, full of glory, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Forgiving God, your Son's disciples cowered behind locked doors, and yet in him you visited them on the evening of resurrection, and breathed on them the spirit of peace. Breathe that Holy Spirit upon us now, that your church may know the power of your forgiveness, and these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of the Son of Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of our sins. Drink of it, all of you. Lord, we thank you for the power and the giving of your Son for our sins, and for allowing us eternity with you. Amen.
Amen.
Gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.